It's football season.
My budget season.
Before we get to the football season, I should have mentioned that our visits, our pleasant visits with Nico Horner, are sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk-free checking. More at huntington.com/your money.
Somehow, it's football season.
Mister.
And there are certain things that register with me in the middle of baseball season as, I don't care. I don't care. But then there are certain things that I'm like, oh boy, it's football season. And that's just me. For you, I think that threshold is different in terms of what registers. And this is our ongoing relationship and partnership in focus here. But today is a day that the GM steps up, the coach steps up, bunch of players step up. It's hard not to realize it's football season.
It was really weird this morning. I'm, you know, getting ready for the show. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm on my laptop and I'm looking around the regular places I look for things. And I'm like, all right, now it's time to get local. Let me see what's going on in Sun-Times. Let me see what's going on in the Tribune. I open up the Tribune sports section and there's a picture of me and the rest of the assembled media talking to Jay Cutler on report day in 2009.
That's hilarious.
The great Phil Velasquez took the picture. It's on my Instagram if you want to check it out, at Lawrence W. Holmes.
That's funny. It's on the Tribune's website as of this morning.
Yeah, like, it's crazy because they did a whole story on, like, players bringing stuff to camp, like what guys would move into.
All right, so 2009, that's hilarious.
And I'm there's sure a picture of a very don't-want-to-be-here Jay Cutler in the middle of the gaggle. And there's a lot. I mean, you see me there. I'm there. Zach's there. I'm right next to Mully. A young David Haw is there.
How about a John Moon Mullen?
Yeah, our friends that have passed, too. John Moon Mullen, Jeff Dickerson is in that fray too.
Oh man, I'll look on your IG. That's hilarious. Amazing.
I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, like you're just logging on. I'm like, oh, this should be an interesting. Like, oh, bleep, that's me.
Hello. Meanwhile,
with a goatee.
Meanwhile, on this radio station in middays, probably the Danny Mac show was doing a bit about like Devin Hester came running into camp. You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then, you know, all these different people. Jay Cutler doesn't give a crap about camp, but
look, Speaks, if you see that picture, it is the epitome of Jay Cutler.
Don't care.
It is the, you see, are you looking at it now?
All that was missing was the fake cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
He could not, and let me just tell you.
Wait, was it fake all these years?
Maybe it was real, I don't know.
The Bears were not quite ready for us when it came to Cutler. And he was not ready either. And I'm not trying to toss shade at Denver media, but there's not as many of them as there are of us.
Do people know the don't care story? Like, Cutler, was it Shuba's, right?
Yeah.
Like two years.
He's at the urinal.
He's at the urinal at Shuba's, and another, like, a guy's next to him is trying to talk to him about football. And, like,
which is a really terrible time to talk to anyone about anything. Yeah. But,
and he's like, asking Jay all about some football stuff. And Jay
guy's
is
like, I went to Vandy too, or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wasn't right. That it? I went to Vandy too. And Jay goes, don't care.
And if you see the picture, it exemplifies that he does not care. We cared quite a bit.
I know. I don't hate him doing that at the urinal.
Yeah, at the urinal. Couple that's of beers a bad, in. That's a bad time to strike up a conversation with someone that you don't know.
Uh-huh. But it just kind of.
But you recognize.
That also was the way he thought about reading defenses. But anyway, it's a new time.
It is a new time. And the general manager of your Chicago Bears spoke today. Now, here's what's interesting. One, there are a lot of important updates that Spees and I need to react to. Two, he did not take any questions, which we will also talk about. I thought it was odd that he didn't. I feel like this would be a great time for Ryan Poles to take questions. But regardless of that, let's give you what you need. This is Ryan Poles giving his state of the Bears as they open up training camp.
First, I want to start off by thanking our crew who set up Hallis Hall on our campus. They did a great job, especially Ken Rock and his group. Fields look great. I know a lot of time goes into that, so I appreciate everyone that set it up. Get our fans back on campus. I know our coaches, our players, everyone's excited to get our fans going and get that energy up for training camp. What I want to do today, just hit some house cleaning items. in terms of designations that we got going on, a few signings. Hit that first, and then I'm going to pass it to Ben to open and talk about training camp. So NFI, Jalen Johnson, he started on NFI there. When he was training, he had a leg injury. I'm not going to get into details of that. It is going to take a few weeks before he can come back. We got a lot of faith that he's going to put in the time to rehab and be his full self when he comes back. I'm sure we'll have updates as we go through training camp, but it's going to take a little bit of time, but not overly concerned about long term. Three other guys, Case Keenum. That was just about a day. He had a little soft tissue deal. We wanted to be cautious about that, make sure he was good. We did, took him off just a day later, so he's good to go. And then Jahdae Walker and Ian Wheeler were the other two, real minor. They're actually going to come off now. In the next few minutes, they'll be off of NFI as well. So we're in pretty good shape. Just want to say I'm proud of the guys that had previous injuries coming off of last year. To name a few, Braxton and Colston. Those guys put in a ton of work alongside our trainers, Andre Tucker, Pierre, Brent Salazar, to return and be ready to go for training camp. So we're excited to get those guys back going again. I'm sure there's going to be a ramp-up period. They haven't played football in a while, but really they're ready to go and knock that rust off and get going. As you always know, we'll bring in guys to work out. We're always looking to add competition to our roster. We're also anticipating potential injuries and things like that. So we want to make sure our short list is good. Through that process, we just signed Tano Passanio, defensive end. And we signed Trey Flowers, corner, to come in as well. So that should be coming through the wire here today. I think that's that. In terms of contract that came out while we were on break, as I've always said, I'm not going to get into details of that, but I am excited about the alignment and the stability that we have within our leadership group here. I have an unbelievable group of people that support me, believe in me, work with me, that help drive what we're doing on our roster and on our football team. And that means a lot. Those people mean a lot to me. But my sole focus right now is supporting Ben, his coaching staff, our players, and our entire organization and football operation. So with that, I'll pass it to Ben to open up and hit training camp. And I look forward to it. I have a lot of time with all of you as we go through training camp in the next few weeks.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot of things to talk to him about. By the way, NFI is non-football injury. So these are guys that didn't get hurt while they were under the care of the Bears. It's a way to be able to manipulate your roster and your roster limits for training camp by having guys on NFI. In the case of Case Keenum, it doesn't matter that much at all because he just jumped right off of it. In the case of Jalen Johnson, though, a little, we saw that he got put on the list. Was that Friday that he got put on NFI? Mm-hmm. The fact that it was like it's a few weeks before we get him back is a little scary.
Not scary to me. I'm not scared about that.
Why not?
Because it's July, and Jalen is as much of a pro as there can be. And if he doesn't get on the field for 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen enough football camps where it doesn't concern me.
It's a few weeks, though.
I hear
he
you.
He didn't say two okay, weeks.
Call it three. Jalen still being Jalen, and we've seen enough veteran high-end corners who don't even show up till late August, and that's not going to be the case. He'll be around. So I respect the concern. I don't particularly share it.
Okay. I have concern for a couple of reasons. One, it is a new scheme, and I get that he is meant for this scheme. It's a perfect scheme for him.
Right. Like, he's going to be asked to just cover. Right?
Right.
For the most part. Go ahead and cover.
For the most part,
it's simpler. It's simpler, if anything.
You are going to show some different looks. The other thing is we don't know what the injury is. So I get concerned when you have a guy with a leg injury who very much needs his legs. You don't know what it is. If it's a soft tissue thing, it could be something that lingers throughout the season. Mm-hmm. If it's more serious than that, you worry about the reoccurrence of it. So I get that it's only July, but a few weeks, him saying it that way was like, "Ooh, that is concerning."
I understand. It did not strike me that way because I trust in Jalen as a professional, as a dude who knows his body. And I'm sure that they're in contact and dealing with it. And I'm not
saying that Jalen won't work. Like, mm-hmm. I know that he'll put in the work. I'm just saying that it was striking to hear Ryan Pohl say that he's going to miss a few weeks.
I get you.
Because training camp itself is a few weeks.
But I just think they're so far away from any kind of games or competition of consequence. It is a new scheme, but it's like, you know, if there's one guy who I sort of trust to fit himself in, I guess it's him. But anyway, that's one of, I counted 8 points that Poles made overall.
Okay, what you got?
I got just like a general hello, salute, says hello, says I'm going to turn it over to Ben here in a minute, says that early, then does the Jalen stuff, talks about Keenum, talked about Ian Wheeler and one other guy coming off the NFI. So I'm giving those NFIs their individuals. That's 5. Braxton and Colston being ready to go. There'll be a ramp-up period. They'll have to knock the rust off, etc. They'll be ready to go. That's 6. 7th, adding guys in competition. He talks about the defensive end and about Trey Flowers, the corner. That's 7. And then the 8th is his own contract. He does bring up his own contract.
Another interesting part of that to me, and it was, I'm trying not to read too much into it, but it did feel like, yeah, I'm still here and I'm still really happy. And
I heard a guy who's proud he got a new deal, but doesn't, just overall, the way that he brings up Ben at the top and then my focus is supporting Ben and his coaching staff at the bottom. And by the way, I'll be around. I'll see a lot of you guys. He knows that there's going to be people wanting to ask questions. He's saying, we're just getting started. It's day one. Let's let Ben be the focus. This is very much by design and vocally saying it about Ben at the top and about Ben at the bottom, saying, I'll be around. I'll see you guys. I have absolutely no problem with him not taking questions today.
I think it's a big deal that he didn't take questions today.
I think it is by design to give the shine and the focus to his head coach, and you will get those questions answered. You've got the Lissagors here. I do not.
Seems to keep coming up, and it's never me who's bringing that up.
It was literally you yesterday.
It was you yesterday,
No, it was not.
Yeah,
no, it was not.
Yeah, it was. No, but that's a good thing. You've got the journalistic ear, and you're feeling that pull, and I totally respect it. This is them having one day to kind of set the template and show you what they're going to do and what it's going to be. Coach is in charge. It's his show. Let's let him go here. The fact that he brings up his contract, I think, is a big deal. He does bring it up.
I wonder about that, too, though. I wonder if inside of that is a guy being like, I mean, yeah, I'm good. Like, I've been taken care of and, you know, I just feel like you can do both of those things, and I'm not sure why they wouldn't feel like they can do both. He can answer the questions that one would expect a general manager to answer and be like, look, you know, Ben Johnson is going to you're going to hear from Ben, and Ben's got a lot of things to say about what's going on.
Maybe it's a touch emblematic in that way, because the ask of Ryan Poles, hey, you want to stay? You want to stay? We're hiring a head coach. You're choosing this guy, but he's in charge. You cool with that? Some things are going to change around here.
That's what I was hearing.
Me, and it is, dude. And he got his money. He got his money in part for his willingness to go with the new paradigm, which frankly is the best paradigm. You look around the league and it is the best way.
Yeah, I think that it is, but I also think that there are just things that you want to take off of your head coach, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. See, this is what I don't know. Is if Ben was asked about the ramp-up period for Braxton and Colston.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
if he's asked about what Jalen's injury is and what that means for Dennis Allen. Maybe Dennis Allen will be asked about that, and he can handle that.
And maybe Ryan will do something like in late August. Like, maybe after, you know, after they do final cuts, like, that'll be the opportunity for him to, or I guess early September, because it's pretty quick, right? It's Labor Day week is when the season starts.
It's a good question. When might he do it? He might do it in a couple weeks. He might do one in a couple weeks.
I mean, that's why I feel like you kind of do it now, and you kind of, and then it is here's Ben's camp, and you allow him to answer any of the questions that happen in between now and the regular season, because then we are doing more on the field stuff versus off the field stuff, which is kind of what general managers use that first press conference to do. And I mean, he went down the list of things that I think right. that are really important.
That's what I'm saying. I think he covered everything he needs to cover, and then he hands it over to the coach, and that's the strategy choice.
But
which you could
more,
quibble
but
with.
There's more depth that's needed. Like, for example,
is there today?
I think from a general manager standpoint, yeah. Like, the Braxton Jones stuff calls for a follow-up question.
For like, how soon does it matter for the public and for our interest, right? But how soon does it matter as you're watching practice to know?
Well, I think it matters because you're trying to figure out when he might practice.
There's a ramp-up period. So now...
Right. So you would ask about that. Like, what was the rehab process like for Braxton Jones? When did you guys feel comfortable pulling him and saying, yeah, he can go? Like, I think that those are some of the things that he can take off of Ben's plate. Mm-hmm. So that Ben doesn't then have to go down a line of answering some of those questions.
And that's fair. I wonder if Ben, guys, was Ben accosted with kind of questions that should be Poles' plate?
Not a lot. I don't think he was asked about Jalen. But, like, speaking on all of this, like, they're trying to put everything that happened last year in the rearview mirror. But Ryan Poles getting up there and just kind of ending it without any questions. You know, our guy Weedsy brought up a good point on the midday show today. They asked him, what's the first thing you'd ask Ryan Poles today? Assuming that they're going to be able to ask questions. He says, I want to know about the things that Ryan Poles admitted slipped through the cracks last preseason, last training camp. What's he going to do different this time around so those same things don't happen? And I was like, oh, that's a really good question, and that was not available to be asked today. So now that may be asked to Ben Johnson later on.
Yeah, well, I think the default answer to that and just about everything is whatever Ben tells him to worry about, frankly. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And I think that's the reality. And he's going ahead and emblematically letting that be known. The reality is that Ben's in charge. And a good GM in football is cool with that. I mean, how many GMs are really, truly the boss and in charge in the NFL? Howie Roseman? How many others are really, truly the boss? And
I'm trying to think of, like, the successful teams more so than the non-successful teams.
It's just not a lot of Bill Polians out there these days.
But I mean, like, you see and hear from, like, Brian Gutekunst, for example. Like, you hear from Jerry Jones literally twice a week.
How's that going?
Not great. It is not. There probably should be someone in that position. Yeah. And I know Steven's been doing a lot more stuff, but that should probably.
And he's an unfair example. But, you know, Gutekunst is interesting. Does Gutekunst set the template of how they're supposed to do things, or is that LaFleur?
Here's what, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I would have to look. Find out if Eric DaCosta has taken questions, because there's a guy that clearly John Harbaugh is in charge of the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a great question. Is it less Snead with the Rams?
Yeah.
Or does Les Snead take questions today?
I imagine he usually does, and then sometimes he just says bleep them picks out in public when they win Super Bowls too.
But I think that's a great question. There's a great kind of path for us to go down and figure out, because they're setting a new template here. They're trying to make it clear they're doing a new thing.
I think that's what they're doing. I hope that's what they're doing. There's another way that you can look at that too. You could have looked at Ryan Poles not answering questions as him pouting. You could have. You could look at it as, like, him ending the whole thing and being like, yeah, and I got my deal, and I'm not going to take any questions. And you can talk to the guy that's in charge here.
Do you get that sense?
I'm just saying that one could look at it that way.
Well, but I don't look at it that way.
Well, you remember for years and years, how often did we hear our guy Bernstein say, the higher you are up the totem pole, the less we should hear from you. Remember? So I wonder if that's like an actual thing too.
I think that with Kevin, that should be the case. I think with the guy in charge of the football operation, just to open it up and say, hey, I think that the question that Weedsy brought up is a really, really good one.
It really is.
What went into the decision of bringing Case Keenum in? There's a lot to what will go into, and we that's something that can ask Ben. But
there it is.
No, not the Keenum thing. The next thing I was thinking of is like the left tackle position and how that competition goes. Like, what matters to you?
Sure.
Like, hearing about those things, I think is important.
Hopefully we hear what matters to Ben about the left tackle. We hear from the new offense.
We will at five.
At the off, there we great. Go. That's a great tease. Mark Grody with all the tape you need, including Ben Johnson on left tackle at 5 o'clock. And maybe we'll hear at some point from Dan Rauschauer, the new offensive line coach, about this left tackle competition. Because guess what? Ryan Poles, as an offensive line judge and strategist, I'm ready to hear what Ben Johnson has to say.
I get that. But I worry about us jumping to Ben is in charge and it's the right thing to do. I want to hear more about the symbiosis. I want to hear what maybe Ryan Poles' view on football has changed because he is now in a partnership with Ben Johnson.
I would hope that's the case, and I bet that is, and I would like to hear more about that. And I wonder if Ryan is going to do more stuff like on the side with people as he references there towards the end. He might
would happen occasionally where, you know, the beat reporters would get tables with the general manager. It is a little striking because ordinarily it is something that is, it's fairly perfunctory that's the opportunity for the GM to open up and talk about whatever, however the team finished the last season, what improvements the team has made in the offseason, and the injuries for sure are usually something at the start of a training camp that person is speaking to.
I appreciate the conversation, and I hope the listeners do, because I think it's intentionally striking. I think it's intentionally striking to make you realize what's going on here. And I think I've been calling for it for a long time.
I think most of us have.
And I think we're actually seeing it. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I know that it's worth trying to give a head coach the freaking keys, the offensive-minded head coach, the freaking keys with a young quarterback and say, you go ahead and do that thing that you seem to know how to do. Let's give that a shot, shall we? Because we never have.